morning we are continuing with our Eastertide series that correspond with the banners on either side of the sanctuary. And this morning's New Testament lesson is from John chapter 20, verses 1 and carrying on with 11 through 16. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, who here has ever gone sailing? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. Eric, you raised your hand. I was going to say, you're from Colorado, but we have a lot of lakes around here, which gives almost anyone a chance to sail. So, you know, we'll take you out and dunk you sometime. And sailors, what does it mean to tack? Come about. Good. It means to turn. Tack means turn. Specifically, it's changing the direction of the front of the boat, the bow of the boat, so that you change your direction. And it's not as simple as it sounds, because of all you have been sailing, who here has been hit by a boom? All right, I love truth. You and I are the only ones who've been hit in the head by the boom, because it comes around kind of quickly. Turning is not as easy and smooth as one would expect. But if you want to get anywhere, tacking or turning is required. And Max wanted to get somewhere, anywhere but home. Now, I'm not talking about Max, who's in our confirmation class. You know, I know you're all looking like, oh, you're going to roast him second service. But Max, the boy in the book, Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak. Max wanted to get in a sailboat and get away. He was in trouble. After being mischievous, his mother sent him to his room without his supper, and Max was hungry because mischief burns a lot of calories, or so I've been told. Wouldn't know personally. In his room, yeah, I knew, I'm glad someone laughed. That was such a lie. In his room, Max didn't even have time to think about his hunger because he was so busy watching a forest grow. And then an ocean tumble by. And then he saw his very own sailboat come and take him to wherever he wanted to go. And Max wanted to go where the wild things are. So he set his course, tacking as necessary. But honestly, it's pretty easy to get where the wild things are. So Max sailed day and night and in and out of weeks and almost over a year until he landed among the wild things with their terrible yellow eyes and their terrible roar and their terrible claws. Mary Mary landed there too, where the wild things are. That's not in this book, but it is in this book, the Bible. Mary didn't take a sailboat across the ocean. She walked through the city and desert streets to get to the empty tomb, and she didn't sail in and out of weeks and almost over a year, but her journey to the empty tomb took an excruciatingly painful several days. And Mary experienced those wild things. The soldiers with their terrible eyes scoffing at Jesus' humiliation. She heard the terrible roar of, "Crucify him, crucify him." And she saw the terrible claws hand Jesus over to be nailed on a cross. Both Max and Mary looked around and saw the wild things, ugly, monstrous, wild things, but I think Mary had it worse. I think Mary had those ugly, wild things, not just around her, but inside her, clawing at her heart that first Easter morning. The wild things of hopelessness, of anger at Jesus' execution, at confusion. Was Jesus the Messiah or wasn't he? And the biggest, most terrible wild thing of all, grief. That wild thing seems to be 1,000 times bigger than we are, and what's worse is just when we think we can cut that monster down to size, it'll sneak up and roar, raise its terrible claws and ambush us all over again. Come to think of it, I don't think Max and Mary are alone in landing where the wild things are. It seems as if no matter how hard we tack, we turn our little boat to avoid the big, ugly, wild things, we seem to land among them anyhow, don't we? Sadly, sometimes we don't have a choice. But Max had a choice. He chose to go where the wild things are. He intentionally tacked, turned his sails in that direction because it was exciting. It was different, surely different from his home where there are rules, boring. And besides, the place where the wild things are was forbidden. Forbidden. And that made Max happy. Max was so happy landing in this new exotic place that he became king of the wild things. And you know what his first royal decree was? It was to let the wild rumpus start. Woo! That's right. Everybody likes a wild rumpus, right? And you, members of the confirmation class, are no different. If you choose, you could have a lot of wild rumpusing ahead of you. You could rumpus till you drop and then get up and rumpus again. Sounds great, doesn't it? Max thought so too, at least at first. But Max discovered that going on a wild rumpus and even being king didn't make him happy. It sounded good, but it really wasn't. Max was lonely. More than rumpusing with wild things, even more than being king, Max discovered that what he really wanted was to be with those who loved him at home. Max wanted to be loved and loved deeply. Mary had been loved and loved deeply by Jesus. Now, sitting outside that empty tomb, Mary didn't think it was possible to be loved and accepted so profoundly again, and so Mary cried. Mary wept. Crying, weeping, that's not just for babies or little kids like like Max, we've all cried, we've all wept, regardless of our age, and sometimes it seems the older we get, the heavier our tears become, as if little parts of our soul are shed, drop by drop. We may be heartbroken because those big, monstrous, wild things are just too big, are just too overwhelming. Or perhaps we're miserable because we discover that the wild rumpuses have terrible consequences. And so we plead, can't I just go home? Go back to the way things were before? I'm afraid I'll get stuck among the wild things forever. And so like Mary, we weep. Mary wept because she didn't see Jesus in her midst. She spoke to him, but it was as if her back was still toward him. Max, too, had his back toward what was most important to him, home. Until his heart caused him to turn back toward his true destination. And if he caught the wind just right, he smelled good things to eat. And without any supper, Max was very hungry. So he said goodbye to the wild things. He said goodbye to their wild rumpus. He even said goodbye to being king. Max set sail, tacking, turning as necessary, back over a year and in and out of weeks and through a day and into the night of his very own room, where he found his supper waiting for him. And it was still hot. Max was home. Mary turned also. She too set her sail, tacked toward her true destination. She turned to Jesus and her eyes were open. Mary said goodbye to the wild things of hopelessness and anger, confusion, grief. And she said to Jesus, teacher, my risen Savior, my Lord. Mary was home. Confirmation class, or four of you who are here at this service, hopefully you'll remember how our system of government works. We've learned a lot this year, right? Hopefully you'll remember how our system of government works, what predestination means to Presbyterians, but don't worry, most of those folks don't know that either, so you're safe. What predestination means, and how the whole one story of the Bible all fits together. Hopefully you'll remember that. But if not, please remember this. Every one of us makes a choice to turn toward something or away from something. Think carefully about the direction in which you set your sails, in which you tack or turn. All of us have turned toward some wild rumpuses of life, and we've all of us have turned toward power in hopes of being king of something, king of anything. And we've all found those destinations to be disappointing, shallow, and oh, so lonely. They're great for a little while, but we're still hungry, and hungry for something more than a missed supper. So hopefully, if you've learned anything this year, it's this. Set your sail tack toward Jesus Christ. And remember that grace isn't something we earned. It's not a merit-based reward system. You know, if I do this, God will do that. No, God willingly and freely and lovingly gives us grace through Jesus Christ. And the grace of Jesus Christ is bigger and more powerful than all the wild things you will ever have to face. Ever. So even if life leads you away from here, off to college, off to the military, or a family move, any place that's away, you can still set your sail. You can still tack toward home. Maybe not your familiar, comfy home with a hot supper waiting, but home where Jesus is present and acknowledged as Lord and Savior. For wherever you are, when you are with Christ, especially in the community of faith called church, you are home. So confirmation class, on this day, when you pledge to join and to serve the church, let me be the first to say, welcome home. And now, let the wild wood rumpus begin. Yeah. Amen.